I'm thankful for this church and that you've been praying for the work in Africa, that you've supported financially, that you've sent us information from some people over there. And we just thank you for that. We need all the help that we can get in the work. It's growing and it's flourishing, but there's a lot of needs. And so just pray for your, just ask for your continued prayers and support in that work. But it's good to be here in the Lord's house. And we want to spend some time in God's word because that's what we need the most. So I want to encourage you this morning from Psalm 56. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 56. And my thought this morning is, what do you do when you're afraid? And the Bible has a lot to say about that, doesn't it? It has a lot to say about fear. Because all of us, if we're human, we struggle with fear. We struggle with worry, with doubt. We have these natural tendencies in our sinfulness, in our radical corruption, to not have our eyes focused upon the Lord and upon the truth of His Word, but we get our eyes focused on the world and the world's problems and our own problems and financial struggles and marital struggles. And we have many things that might cause us fear in our own lives. And this is really ungodly fear as we look at it in the scriptures. There is a healthy, godly fear in which we should have, where we stand in awe, as the brother said this morning. We ought to have reverence for God and His house. We ought to have respect for the name of God and the Word of God. But the fear that we have, that's a natural fear, it is an ungodly fear, because what it does is it actually takes your focus off of God, off of His Word and off the truth, and on to yourself, right? And so we want to replace our earthly ungodly fear with a holy, reverential fear of God. But one of the things I find most encouraging in God's Word is in the Psalms, particularly, how honest that David is about his fear. And you sang about it, kids, this morning. You sang about David and him slaying Goliath and the giant. And we understand that David was a mighty man of God. I mean, David from his youth was a special individual. He was a special gifted individual. We know that he even tells us that he was a shepherd, and that through God's might and through God's strength, he was able to kill a bear and kill a lion with his own hands. So he was gifted, and he was dedicated to the Lord from a young age. He was gifted musically and all these different things, but he had a heart for the Lord, and that was the most important thing about him, right? He had a heart for the Lord. It tells us that he had a heart after God. He was a man of God's own heart. And God chose him actually to be the first true king of Israel, his chosen nation. The people chose Saul to be their king because he was tall, he was strong, he was a good leader, he was good looking, and they wanted a king like all the other nations of the world. But God's chosen king, God's man, was David. And we know that David had chosen him to be the king, and this upset Saul. He was jealous of David. And we read in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, we read the story of how King Saul goes after David, even one who had been kind to him, even one who was the best friend of his son Jonathan, even the one who would come in and play music for King Saul to soothe his soul. But an evil spirit stirred up King Saul to try to kill David. And David had to flee. He had to flee the city. He had to flee his home. He had to flee those that he loved. And he was on the run much of his early life. But David, as he writes these Psalms, you see his honesty in dealing with this fear. He would have to go into enemy camps. He would have to go and hide in caves. He would be out in the desert. He was just always on the run, and he would never know, where his next enemy was coming from. But I find it encouraging as I read through the Psalms that that David is not glossing over the fact that he has these trials, that he has these problems, and that he's in fear. And he's dealing with this. And how does David deal with this fear? And how do you and I deal with fear that we have in our lives? We aren't to just gloss it over and just say, well, you know, have trite little sayings. Well, everything will be fine in the end. We know that's true, right? Or God is sovereign. He'll figure it all out. That doesn't really help you when you're afraid, does it? I mean, you need to remind yourself of that. But what do you really need to do in times when you are afraid? So I want to encourage you in this from specifically Psalm 56 this morning. So I just want to read the psalm and then we'll go through it. And I want to give you some points of encouragement. Psalm 56. So this tells us that this psalm was specifically written when David had to go into the Philistine camp, his enemy's camp. By the way, that's where Goliath was from, right? Was from Philistine. So he had slain their greatest champion. He had slain their warrior. The people had to submit themselves under Israel's leadership now for many, many years. But they were the enemies of Israel. And here David has to flee because of Saul's persecution into the Philistine camp. And these are the words that he writes during this time. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me are evil. They gather themselves together. They can hide themselves. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So what encouraging words that we have from David here. That in his time of being afraid, in his time of being in fear, what is his response? What is the Spirit speaking in him and speaking through him to write these things down? So how does David deal with fear, and how can you and I take encouragement from this, that when we have these times of fear in our own life, how do we deal with them? You may be fearing the future. You may be fearing your future. You may be fearing the generation that's coming's future. And we probably all, if we're honest, we're fearing about our own country. And we're fearing how evil we have become and the consequences of this in our lives and in our culture, in our nation. But also, I think we're thinking even more about the future generations and how hard that it's going to be for Christians and just for our children and our grandchildren as they grow up. And so we have to be honest with God about these fears. But ultimately, we do have to go back to God's word and ground ourselves in the truth so that we will not be shaken. Even though all the world around us is in chaos, we will not be shaken and we will stand firm in the truth of God's word. But here's the practical application, because we see that this is what David is doing, not only in this psalm, but in other psalms as well. Number one, David deals with his fear by pleading for God's mercy. The first thing that we should always do when we're afraid is we should go to God in prayer and say, God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm dealing with these sinful thoughts. I'm dealing with these sinful emotions. I'm letting my eyes be taken off you and off the truth of your word. And I'm getting my eyes on myself and the things of this world. So be merciful unto me, O God. The mercy of God is so important, not only in your salvation, But the mercy of God is important for you every day of your life. In order for you to be able to serve God daily, in order for you to be able to work, in order for you to be able to love your spouse, to love your children, to love your family, and to be a faithful member of God's house, it takes the mercy of God. It takes the grace of God to be able to do this. So our first response should always be not to look at ourselves and look at the world, but to look at God and say, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me." If you go over into the next psalm, in Psalm 57, he says the same thing there. "Be merciful unto me, O God." And then he just repeats it. "Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." So what you're praying is you're saying, "God, I'm fearing right now. I'm afraid of these things, but I trust more in you than I do in my flesh. You are greater than my fear. You can overcome my fear. I know that you are," as he goes on later to say, "you are for me. So I will not fear what man can do unto me. Be merciful unto me." The mercy of God is never something that we should take for granted. We need it just to get up each and every day and put one foot in front of the other. We ought to not take anything for granted. Everything that we do is by the mercy of God. And just in case you don't know what God's mercy is, what that word means, it means that not only does God withhold the judgment that you deserve because of your sin, not only does he withhold that, he's not executing out his justice upon you, which you deserve, but in love, he meets the desperate needs of your condition. So God withholds his wrath against you for your sin, but also in love, he meets every desperate need that you have. That's mercy. Isn't that wonderful? And so that includes physical needs. It includes emotional needs. Certainly spiritual needs. These are all expressions of his mercy. You know, just the fact that we have food and clothing and shelter, that's God's mercy. And so we always need to be going back to this whenever we're afraid. Remind ourselves, God has been merciful to me, a sinner. You know, when the two men went up to pray in the temple, it says that there was a publican that went up to pray, and then there was a man who thought he was righteous, right? A Pharisee. And they both go up to the temple to pray. And it tells us that the man who was a Pharisee and was self-righteous, he goes up to pray, and everything's about himself and everything that he's done, right? And so he really doesn't show any reverence or respect for God because he thinks everything that has happened in his life is a result of his goodness. But then you have the publican going up there, and he shows reverence for God in his house. He doesn't even look up his eyes toward heaven, right? It just says that he beats upon his breast and he says, "Have mercy upon me because I'm a sinner." We need to be that way in our own lives. So does your prayer life, does your prayers to God, does it include begging for mercy for your needs? Or is it just, "God, I need this. God, we need this." We ought to bring our requests and our supplications and our needs before God, but that's not mainly what prayer is. Mainly prayer is fellowship and communion with God, where you're pouring out your heart to God and saying, "God, I need you. I need your mercy to help me deal with this fear, with this anxiety, with this discouragement." And so I think we take comfort from David and him pleading for God's mercy because he realizes the truth of what is going on. He says, "Man would swallow me up. My enemies are oppressing me. My enemies are here seeking to destroy me." And so he says, "I need the mercy of God." And certainly David realized when he sinned against God, when he committed adultery and he had Uriah killed, and he saw himself as a sinner. We know in Psalm 51, he said, "God, I acknowledge my sin before you, and I pray for your mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." So in times of fear, we ought to plead for God's mercy. And secondly, as we've already talked about, and I think we see really in this psalm and in a couple of other psalms, is we must be honest with God about our fears. We must be honest with God about our fears. Again, we see this, right, throughout the whole psalm. Verse 1, why is he pleading for God's mercy? Why is he asking for God's strength when he's afraid? Because he says, man would swallow me up. He fights daily. He's fighting against me daily to oppress me. Verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. Do you acknowledge this in your prayers to God when you're afraid? Man is seeking to destroy me. This world is seeking to destroy my faith. Satan is daily throwing all his fiery darts against my soul. And I can feel the weight of this, God. And I need your help. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Verse 3, he admits, what time I am afraid. Right? He says, I'm afraid. I fear. I'm fearing what King Saul is doing. I'm fearing my enemies. I'm fearing the Philistines who hate me. And he's fearing for his life. He's being honest with God about these fears. What time I am afraid. He acknowledges his weakness. And we ought to do that too in times of fear and discouragement. Lord, I'm afraid. I'm discouraged. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what the future holds. Isn't it comforting to us as parents when we're bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we're doing our best to try to teach them in the way that they should go. Isn't it comforting when they come to us or when they say to us, I'm scared. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what the future holds. Isn't it comforting to you as a parent when your child comes to you and confides in you and comes to you for encouragement? I know it is for me. Dad, I'm struggling with this. Or, Dad, I'm having a problem with this. I love to hear that because then I can help. I want to enter into their situation. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. It's the same with our elder brother, Jesus Christ. He is daily interceding for you. And it says that he loves to do it. He loves for us to come to him and acknowledge our weakness and that we need his strength. In fact, he pleads with us, all those that are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. He wants us to come and acknowledge our fear, acknowledge our weakness, acknowledge that we can't do it, that we don't want to go on. Because as Paul says, when we do that, when we acknowledge our weakness, then he says, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we acknowledge that we're afraid and yet we continue to put one foot in front of the other, it shows that we're depending on God. And God receives all the glory and the honor. Verse 5, their thoughts are evil against me. You know, people might not come out and say that to your face or write it on Facebook or Instagram, that their thoughts are evil against you. But ultimately, that's what they are. If they're attacking God's word, if they're attacking your faith, if they're trying to discourage you from walking in the path of what's right, then their thoughts, their words are evil against you. Satan is using them to attack your soul and to discourage you. Verse 6, he says, they wait for my soul. There are some people who are just waiting to discourage you, waiting to trap you in fear, waiting to get you off of walking the right path. And so I'm encouraged by David pleading, first of all, for the mercy of God, but then being honest with God about his fear. Now, I want to encourage you with a few other verses before we move on. We go to the New Testament. In the book of 1 Peter, we find this encouragement. Why should you be honest with God about your fear? Why should you pray to God during these times? We have some wonderful encouragement from Peter. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's what David's doing. He's humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Why should you go to God and plead for his mercy? Why should you be honest with God about your fear? Because he cares for you. He does. He not only chose you from before the world began, not only did Jesus Christ come and live a perfect life for you and die on the cross for your sins and be raised again for your justification and ascend up into heaven to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for you, but he ever lives to make intercession for you daily as a high priest. Because he loves you and he cares for you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what other people are saying about you. And so he says, cast all your cares upon him, all your anxieties, all your fears, because he cares for you. And I take encouragement from that. And then Paul would say in Philippians, in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Even in times of fear? Yes. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then he says, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious or fearful in an ungodly way. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful encouragement to you that in time of fear, you can go to God, you can go to Jesus Christ and let all your requests be made known unto him with thanksgiving. So being thankful for all that you have, all that he's blessed you with, and he's going to fill you with his peace. At what time I am afraid, he says, I will trust in thee because I know that you love me. I know that you care for me. It has been said that there are over 365 times in the Bible where it says, fear not. And some have said that's for every day of the year. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Why do you think that we have to be continually told not to fear? Because we fear. Because that's our human nature. God knows that we are weak. God knows that we are frail. And it's okay to admit that. You know, men struggle with this so much. I mean, I think all of us do, you know, admitting our weaknesses, but men especially. We don't want to say those words, I am afraid. Because we want to appear strong. We want to appear that we always have it put together. We want to appear that we have no weaknesses. But David, a mighty man of God, a great hero, a great king, he said, I am afraid. And so we don't need to be willing. We need to be willing to admit our weakness, but not just stay there. That's not all we do. Because thirdly, and I think this is one of the most important things in the psalm, is not only do we need to plead for the mercy of God and we need to be honest with God about our fear, but thirdly, it just comes back to you need to trust in God, right? You need to trust in God because he says, at what time I am afraid, I don't dwell on that fear. I don't stay in that fear. I don't loom around in that darkness. He says, at what time I am afraid, I trust in God. I get my eyes off of myself and I get it on the God. I get my eyes off of my enemies and I get it on God. He says, this is what makes the difference. I trust in God. I rely upon God. I believe in God and his promises. I believe that all things are ordained of his sovereign loving hand. And he wouldn't allow anything to come in my life except for what's going to glorify him and make me more like Jesus Christ. We need to just simply trust in God. A lot of times we're fearful because we're trusting in the flesh. If we're just honest, that's what it is. We're trusting in the arm of the flesh. At what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Verse 3. Verse 4. In God have I put my trust. verse 11. In God have I put my trust. You see how David uses repetition? Right? He uses repetition. I'm afraid, I trust in God. At what time I'm afraid, I trust in God. My enemies are surrounding me. I put my trust in God. We need to constantly be speaking to ourselves the truth, reminding ourselves of the gospel message. What Jesus Christ has done for us. The future that He's planned for us and secured for us. And that He's with us every step of the way. And what are some of the reasons that David lists here of why he trusts in God? And this is beautiful. Why can you trust in God in moments of your fear? Verse 8 is one of the most beautiful scripture verses that we have in the Psalms. It says that God tells my wonderings. God talks about all the things that were going on in David's life. You tell my wonderings. You know that I'm on the run. You know that King Saul is seeking my life. You know that the Philistines hate me. And God is talking about this. You tell all my wonderings. And then He says this beautiful thing right here. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? This is fascinating. God has a book. And maybe God has a proverbial bottle. And He's putting all of your tears, all of your fears, all your struggles, all your persecutions into this book. And He talks about them and He's acquainted with them and He knows them. God is more than just a God who is exalted and who is transcendent, even though He is that. God is a God who is imminent. God is a God who is close to you and knows all the struggles of your heart and soul. And that should be comforting to you when you're in those moments of fear. God knows. And He's keeping a record. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I know everything that your enemies have done against you. I know every false thing that anybody's ever said against you. David says, you've written it down and you're holding my tears in a bottle. You can trust God because God cares about the details of your life. Are they not written in your book? And second of all, he says in verse 9, we can trust God in our moments of fear because God is for me, David says. He knew that even though all these things had happened to him, he had done nothing wrong. He was just trying to serve God. He was trying to love God. He was trying to help people. He was trying to help Saul, but Saul couldn't see that. But he says, this I know, that God is for me. Even though he's allowed all these things to happen. There were times when David questioned, I'm sure. But ultimately he knew, God is for me. God has my back. God has my best interest in mind. That is true of God. It's not true of anyone else at all times. Even though we should be that way. But it is always true of God. He loves you with an everlasting love. His love never changes. His mercy and grace will never waver against you. His compassion is always the same toward you. Because He is for you. And Paul says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we need to remind ourselves of that constantly. God's for me. He's got this. I'm in the palm of His hand. Jesus said that you're in the palm of my hand. And I'm in the hand of the Father, and no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. So you're scared in there, but He's got you. He's got you, and you can take comfort, and you can receive strength from that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can anything separate you from the love of God? Can sickness? Can famine? Can evil politicians? Can the wicked people of this world separate you from God's love? We know that they can't. We need to remind ourselves of that. It is God who sits on the throne. It is God who says that I am the sovereign Lord of all the universe and I am doing my will in heaven and in earth and none can stay my hand. None can question me and say, what are you doing? Because He is for us. Boy, it's comforting to know that the God who has all power in heaven and in earth and Jesus Christ, who it says is the form of the invisible God, and that by Him all things are upheld in the universe, that this King is for me. He's on my side. He's fighting the battles with me, and He's already won the war. So maybe David didn't know if he was going to get out of the Philistine camp. Maybe he didn't know if he would ever truly be the king of Israel. And maybe he never knew if he would get to go back to the place that he loved. But he knew God was for him. And we knew God was upholding him. And he just says, I trust in God. That's what I'm coming back to. And so we need to be actively trusting God in our greatest moments of fear, anxiety, worry, and depression. Because He cares for us. He's for us. And what this leads to is, lastly, what it led to David in his life. David was a man of praise. David was a man of singing. He was a man of using instruments to praise God. And this is one of the things that is beautiful about him. These things that he wrote, he actually wrote them through the inspiration of the Spirit to be sung. So this psalm right here is to be sung. It's a song of mercy. It's a song of praise. It's a song of how to deal with fear. And so ultimately, how we should deal with fear in our life is by praising God. So trusting God leads to praise in God. Right? Verse 4, in God I will praise His word. Verse 10, in God I will praise His word. He repeats it. In the Lord will I praise His word. And then verse 12, I will render praises unto you. So if David, in the midst of the camp of his enemy and on the run from Saul, if he could say that I will trust in God and I will praise God, even in the midst of that, what is it in our life? What is it in your life where we can't still praise God? Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that when you're going through the storm and you're going through the trial, that it's not hard, because it is. To say that wasn't the case would not be honest. It would not be real. Right? Because when you go through the storm, it is scary. When you go through the storm, it does cause pain, and there are consequences. And David acknowledges that, and we've seen that. But he says, ultimately, I will trust in God and I will praise Him, because He's praiseworthy. No matter what happens in my life, He's worthy of praise. No matter what my enemies are doing, He's worthy of praise. No matter what evil spirit is in King Saul, He's worthy of my praise. No matter if my life turns out the way that I've planned it, He's worthy of praise. You know, sometimes I think that I'm just barely holding things together. Barely. Like, just if one more domino falls, the whole thing is going to come crumbling down. And I think that actually we ought to feel that way. When you think you have it all together, when you think that nothing can shake you in trusting in your flesh, then you're in a dangerous place. But I think when we feel like that we trust in God more, we cry out to God more, we realize the importance of prayer, we realize the importance of the assembly of the saints, we realize the importance of God's house, and we understand the importance of this word and daily being in it, daily being challenged by it, daily being encouraged by it. This is our strength. This is our hope. And we see that from David. Yes, he was afraid. He was honest with God. This led to him trusting in God. It leads him to praising God. And we need to spend time not only here at church. I love coming to God's house and singing. I love worshiping God here in His house on the Lord's Day. But you need to be praising God at home. You need to be praising God in your car. You need to be praising God Him at work in any way that you can, even if it's just humming a hymn, right? Or, yeah, humming a hymn. Singing a song. Do it with your children at night. Spend time worshiping and praising God. This teaches our children, when they see this in our lives, even when things aren't going well, they see us praising God, then they see what we value. Mm-hmm. They see what we value. And this is important, one of the most important lessons for all the young people here. Don't overvalue the things of this world. Money, fame, importance, all those things in society. Don't overvalue those things, because all those things are fleeting and will pass away. You may have them, you may not. You may have them, they're taken away. Value this, because this is unchanging. It is an anchor for the soul. It is eternal. It will last forever. So this is what you need to esteem and value over these other things in your life. And actually what this does, as all of you can testify that have been walking with God a long time, is it places a proper value on all the things of this world. And whenever that tries to get off, this word says no. God says no. Seek me first, right? Seek his kingdom first, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what do you do in time of fear? What should I do in time of fear? I think we should listen to God's word, that we should plead for his mercy, that we should be honest in prayer to him about our fear, but that ultimately we should trust in him, and this would lead to praise in our life. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.